relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Really not much to see. I'll step out of the way, but it's kind of boring out here. So it's not your typical presidential campaign event. We don't see people rallying outside. We don't see signs. So you would expect to see, I mean, this is a pretty big event for the two of them to be campaigning together for the first time since the Democratic National Convention here in Arizona. We've established, our state has established itself as a battleground state. And so this is technically a big event, but not a lot of fanfare.
An embarrassing video. It's near the top of my Twitter feed. Welcome back, dear friends, to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. That was from a campaign event this weekend in Phoenix where Nicole Garcia, the local correspondent for KZAZ, panned the camera behind her and said, "There's nobody here for a Biden-Harris rally." How can that be when we are told persistently that he is up in the polls? I know somebody who perhaps can give us the answer. Historian, columnist, financier, justice reform advocate. He is Lord Conrad Black, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. You can follow him right now at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Sebastian. Thank you for your overly flattering, embarrassingly flattering, but no less appreciated for that introduction.
Well, I always go by the rule of John O'Sullivan, Margaret Thatcher's old speechwriter.
A dear friend.
Oh, a wonderful man who always starts after he's been introduced. He always used to say, "That is an introduction my father would have been proud of and my mother would have believed." Let's start with your latest piece, a title which will shock the mainstream media. Trump is the integrity candidate. It's at one of our favorite sites, amgreatness.com, American Greatness. And I'll start with the last sentence and then the penultimate paragraph. "Improbable as it often seems, and whatever his failings, in this election, Donald Trump is the candidate of honesty, competence, and legality. A Biden victory would be a crushing defeat for all of these traditional American ideals." That's the conclusion. And then the core of the article is, quote, "The burning question that historians will pose is why this president, who has achieved so much and has been so unjustly assaulted by perversions of the justice system and unprofessional press biases, is now in what appears to be an uphill struggle for the re-election." Lord Black, can you give us a preliminary answer to that burning question?
Yeah, well, I can, but I don't want to be glib here. I mean, these are terribly complicated issues, and it perhaps needs to be repeated occasionally that the United States, a country of a third of a billion people, is an immensely complicated society. And so I don't want to give any of your listeners the view that I'm being flippant or glib about this. These are, as I said, in what you kindly just read, matters that will be subjects of serious scholarly scrutiny in the future. So, but just in the spirit of your question, taking a shot at an answer, I just make this point that he is the first president that we've had, at least since Jackson, if not ever, who has come in saying, I want to throw out the entire political establishment, the whole political class, both parties, the whole business is rotten. Some of the people are all right, but fundamentally they have failed. For 20 years, both parties, both the Congresses and the administrations, and up to a point the courts as well, have mismanaged the country and not given it an adequate competence of government. And in saying this and actually carrying it all the way into the White House, against all odds and the beliefs of 90% of people, even on election day. I mean, 90% of people whose opinions were recorded and reported on. He is challenging the whole system. So the whole system, as it was when Trump arrived, is still fighting him. They never accepted his election, and they believe they've got him on the ropes now. And they are, in the manner of sports teams that feel they're leading, they're throwing their hockey sticks in the air, whatever sport it is, and jumping around and, you know, high-fiving and clapping each other in the back and pretending the game is over. And it is particularly ironic because part of their toolkit in trying to pretend that this man hasn't legitimately been elected and must not be reelected has been the greatest perversion of a constitution in history. I mean, the southern states, when they seceded, conducted what President Lincoln determined to be an insurrection. But at least you knew what it was. They yes. frankly seceded and conducted an insurrection that was suppressed after a terrible war. But here we have people strutting about in the attitudes of righteousness, claiming that they're fighting an authoritarian, a crook, a tax cheat, a grifter, a man morally and ethically unqualified to be president who stole his election. And in pursuit of that, they presented this gigantic fraud based on completely illegal activity by the higher levels of the FBI and the intelligence agencies, and with the complicity and ultimate direction of the opposition candidate. And then after that failed to alter the result of the election, they used that as an attempt to drive him from office absolutely spuriously. When that failed, they produced a fatuous impeachment process in which they did not accuse him of illegalities. They accused him of activities which, in fact, are not impeachable if he had committed them, and they produced no probative evidence that he had committed them. But we still had to go through, the whole country had to go through that asinine farce of an impeachment trial. And now at least they have graduated to the point of misrepresenting the pandemic by peddling the whole notion of public panic and the failure of the president to deal with. Now, the facts, of course, are in the first place, 99% of people are not really seriously threatened by this. So the reaction has been outrageously excessive and has caused terrible economic and psychological damage to the country, which the president has done his best to alleviate. He had to take a shutdown because the science was virtually unanimous, but he made it brief and brought the country back quickly. And we're about to have an announcement of 32% economic growth rate for the last quarter, the third quarter. And the president inherited a completely inadequate public health crisis response system where all tests had to be by appointment in hospital and sent to Atlanta, Georgia for analysis, no matter where they came from, and utter total incapacity to deal with such a crisis. Within a few weeks, he had the United States as the ventilator supplier of the world, the supplier of all other relevant medical equipment for the world, had increased the hospital beds capacity above what was proved to be necessary, and had started to break the momentum of this. And the fact is the death rates are down by 2/3 and we're within weeks of a vaccine. It's really been a superb executive operation by the first actual business executive who has ever sat in the White House, as president. And yet it's being presented as a colossal moral and administrative failure. Now, that's at least fair play. It's not illegal to misrepresent your opponent in an election, and up to a point every party does it every 4 years. There's nothing particularly wrong with it. But it follows on the heels of absolutely clearly illegal efforts to subvert the constitutional process. So it is really a bit rich for Trump's opponents. I mean, there's plenty you can criticize him Trump, but you can't say that he has been dishonest, is an authoritarian, and a menace to the Constitution. The exact reverse is true. And his opponents are in no position to make such allegations.
It truly is.
And unless they manage to shut down indictments when it finally pleases Mr. Durham to produce them, which they'll probably try to do if they're the administration. But unless they do that, some of them are going to face the music, and it will not be pleasant.
We will touch upon exactly that topic you discuss. John Durham, the investigator at DOJ, who has yet to produce any results apart from that low-level legal flunky pleading out from his charges. We are talking to the author of the newly updated A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black. And just to reiterate the figures that he just provided you, they are in his article, but they bear repeating. For those beneath the age of 70, there is a 99.997% survival rate to the coronavirus. For those above 70, the survival rate is 94.6%. That number includes the president himself at 74. Back with Lord Conrad Black and me, Sebastian Gorka, here on America First after these messages. Don't touch that dial.
One day and say, I have an agenda, I like guns, I hate guns, I like abortion, I hate abortion, and walk in like a royal queen and impose, you know, their will on the world. You have to wait for cases and controversies, which is the language of the Constitution, to wind their way through the process.
She can't be a royal queen, that is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And this is America First. We are back with none other than Lord Conrad Black, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. If you want to understand how you can link this presidential election to Samuel Coleridge and the Ancient Mariner, you must read his latest article, Trump is the Integrity Candidate. Lord Black, we were talking in the break, and I want to enlarge the discussion to all of our listeners and viewers. It is now clear, based upon the revelations of the last 2.5-3 weeks, that the smear campaign against candidate Trump was decided upon by Hillary Clinton, his competitor for that position, and it was based upon Russian disinformation that was being funneled by a former British spy to the FBI. We have been waiting now for more than a year and a half for John Durham, who had been tasked by the Attorney General to bring us the actual facts of the case, who was culpable for all that within the DOJ, within the FBI, within the CIA. We are exactly 3 weeks away from the election with nary a result. How much does this undermine the whole process of choosing which candidate to vote for this election?
Well, you see, I think, Sebastian, that the Attorney General, Mr. Barr, made quite clear at the time that he set up the Durham Special Counsel investigation that he, Barr, was very uneasy about what appeared to be some illegalities in the circumstances surrounding the beginnings of the Trump-Russian investigation. And he wanted specifically to find out how it came about that a presidential campaign and transition team were subject to a foreign intelligence, secret intelligence surveillance. tapping the phones of a presidential candidate and the president-elect, as he became, is something that shouldn't happen. And he wanted to get to the bottom of it. And he said, I thought quite explicitly, that he wanted it done in order that the voters at the next election could make an informed decision yes. in reference to those matters. I mean, if in fact under investigation there was no wrongdoing, the voters should know that. And if there was, they should know that too. And or at least if they knew there was an allegation of it, a responsibly based, legally composed allegation of wrongdoing by one of the parties against another, then the voters should know that. That, to me, is a perfectly reasonable thing. It's not a witch hunt. It's not ordering in advance a charge. It's not a misuse of the prosecutorial power at all. It is a request to use all the powers necessary to get the truth. And then if there is what the prosecutor believes to be a case beyond a reasonable doubt that wrongdoing was committed, that should be charged. If there wasn't, that should be announced.
And
fair and reasonable. But the trouble, to answer your question, is if he's not going to get there by election day, and it appears he won't, the voters in that very important matter will not be making an informed decision. They're well informed on all the normal issues that are out there. And there's a terrific range of them and great differences between the candidates in policy terms. But that is a vital issue, and they will not be able to make an informed decision. And I think that's very unfortunate.
And it's all the more crucial because it is patently obvious, is it not, that there is no way that the then Vice President, Joe Biden, was not aware of all of this when it was happening.
Well, I don't know about all of it, but he was present at that January 5th, 2017 yes. meeting when it was by the things that have been made public and partly by the Inspector General of the Justice Department, partly by others, partly even in elements of the Mueller report, where the whole matter was laid out of an investigation into Trump and his relations with the Russians. And Biden himself suggested the Logan Act, you know, of 1799, which has never been successfully employed, and the last time it was tried, I believe, was in 1861.
Yes.
Biden's lively contribution to this one was to try the Logan Act on poor old General Michael Flynn, who no more broke any laws than any of your listeners did. And so he knew something about it. Anyway, he certainly knew something about it. It's not, I think, it, to be fair, it's not for us to say how much he knew. I would not think he necessarily knew all the skullduggery that Comey and Brennan were up to, but he knew generally what was going on.
You have a truly unique perspective when it comes to analyzing this presidency, not simply because of your track record as a presidential historian, but because you've actually negotiated with, you know, Donald Trump, the businessman. Did it surprise you? You used the phrase in your article that what Robert Mueller was charged with doing was a bloodless presidential assassination squad with the chief purpose of provoking the innocent targets into acts that would compromise him. Were you surprised? I was when I worked for him. His absolute unwillingness to take the bait, if you will.
I was impressed, and I was a bit surprised, yeah. And by the way, in fairness, I consider Weissman to been the leader of the assassination squad. I think Mueller was a front for it. I think Mueller is
agreed.
A decent and patriotic man who's clearly somewhat past his prime. But I think Mueller would personally be averse to a misuse of the position he had. But he was not able to restrain some of those under him, including, as we now know, Weissman and Strzok, if I'm pronouncing his name right, from grossly exceeding not only the practice of such investigations and in Strzok's case of the FBI, but also, in fact, willfully, knowledgeably, and premeditatedly breaking the law in a terribly serious matter, the question of the legitimate occupation of the presidency of the United States by the incumbent holder of the office. And yes, I was, except for one thing. I noted from time to time that President Trump, Donald Trump, showed immense restraint when you wouldn't have expected him capable of it. But to me, the greatest example of that is in the Kavanaugh proceedings, where if he had uttered one word aspersing the credibility of Dr. Blasey Ford,
yes,
or whatever her name was.
Blasey Ford, yeah.
Yeah, if he had done that, the whole thing would have blown up. And
yeah,
instead he said she seemed like a pleasant, credible woman. Now, he didn't believe that, but it was a wise thing to say. So he can certainly, restrain his natural hot-headed and frankly, in these matters, perfectly justified self-righteous
resentment. When I was in the White House, it was one of the few things that truly surprised me about my then boss, his restraint on all matters of so-called Russia collusion allegations. We've been talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black. This is America First. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Trump Card.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
That wasn't 40 years ago. That was just now. He's running for the Senate. Good. Run for the Senate. Then the president will be uncontested. Kamala could be running for, I don't know, county dog catcher. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Oh, ELO. We're playing ELO. Did you hear Jeff Lynne? Jeff Lynne. The man who was the one-man orchestra behind the Electric Light Orchestra has been nominated for an OBE. Order of the British Empire. Took long enough. Queenie, come on. He's a massive institution. We love ELO. we were talking about Sheldon Whitehouse. And I have to concur with Alex Marlowe, who has just reposted an article about Sheldon Whitehouse, who has proceeded to, with the help of some poster boards, paint a very outré conspiracy theory about conservative dark money without asking Amy Coney Barrett one question. Here's Alex Marlowe's response. This is more of a campaign event for the senators than it is a confirmation hearing. Everyone knows how they're voting. If you're not going to ask any questions, confirm her and get it over with. Absolutely agreed. But at the same time, it illuminates a broader issue. The rank bigotry, the anti-Christian, anti-Catholic questions of the Democrats, of Kamal Harris et al., just illustrate how fragile our religious liberties are. We have to listen to Senator Hawley and his take on these events.
And I would just say to my Democrat colleagues, these years now, this pattern and practice, as we say in the law, of religious bigotry, because that's what it is. When you tell somebody that they're too Catholic to be on the bench, when you tell them they're going to be a Catholic judge, not an American judge, that's bigotry. The pattern and practice of bigotry from members of this committee must stop.
Now, I have to ask a tough question. What have you done lately to fight religious bigotry? I mean, really, what have you done? Because it's real. And I know it's tough. What can the average person do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can support the one organization that's fighting for people being persecuted for their Christian beliefs. It's the Alliance Defending Freedom. They take these cases for free. They defend these Americans all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they've won 9 cases already. If you want to help protect all of our religious liberties, please support ADF. It's very simple. Go to my website, sebgorka.com. Click on the ADF banner. Make a donation of $100 or your best gift, or call them on 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. Or go to sebgorka, sebgorka.com, and help the organization that's protecting all of us. God bless you. All right, I don't think I've taken one call today. Let's go to Steve in Georgia, line one. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Dr. Gorka, how you doing today?
Very well. Good to be back.
Good. Hey, quick thought, just a random thought on the passing scene. I dip into the news now and then. I have a hard time watching because it's like almost.
I can understand.
Giant propaganda windmill that never slows down. But these confirmation hearings with Amy Coney Barrett plus other public statements by Democrats, she impresses me as one of the most fundamentally decent human beings in this country today. And the Democrats, the things they've been saying about her, the opposition, and plus using their surrogates in the media to basically try to destroy her reputation, they have become literally the enemies of decency in America today.
Wow. What do you do for a living, Steve? You said the giant propaganda mill that never slows down, and you've called the Democrat senators what they are, the enemies of decency. Are you a wordsmith? Do you teach English for a living?
No, I hardly speak English, Dr. Gorgon. I just try to pay attention. That's all.
So can I ask what you do for a living?
I'm a retired firefighter.
Wow. Now I'm truly impressed. Stay on the line, my friend. Steve deserves a signed copy of whichever book he wants, whether it's Defeating Jihad, Why We Fight, or The War for America's Soul. He's right. It's a giant propaganda windmill that never stops turning, and it is fueled by the enemies of decency. You've inspired me, Steve. I love your turn-off phrase. Jeff, give that man whatever he wants. More of your calls, as well as Devin Nunes next. What a day. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you are suffering from daily pain, please take a moment and try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is the 100% drug-free product that is providing daily pain relief to tens of thousands of Americans, me included, and also Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them has given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Wow. You know what to do? If you've had enough, if you think you deserve to be the next success story, just do the right thing. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. Try it for 3 weeks, just like I do every morning and evening. Take it. And I promise you, by the end of the 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you. ReliefFactor.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Somebody else who knows the president well is Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the pillow he sold 51 million of. They're that good. Use my name. Drop my name for up to 50% off MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are having an incredible day today. We're going to speak momentarily with Congressman Nunes. Newt Gingrich has been with us, Lord Conrad Black, so much more. Your calls as well on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Congressman Nunes, welcome to America First.
Great to be back with you, Dr. Gorka. Thanks for having me.
So first things first, we have to mention your book, Countdown to Socialism. Check it out right now, Countdown to Socialism. We have to talk about a movie that is out, which is about you. You are the central hero of the movie. But first, can you tell us what happened at the weekend and in the prior 2 weeks in your district of California?
Well, thank you. And I wrote this little pamphlet, Countdown to Socialism, not thinking it was going to actually happen in my district. I talked about all the chaos and statues being torn down. And, you know, I'm sitting 3 hours from Hollywood and 3 hours from San Francisco. So I'm pretty far away from a lot of the craziness. But I will tell you, a couple weeks ago, a farmer took a big haystack, put a 40-foot banner on it of mine and put a Trump sign on it. And an arsonist came by and burned it down. So the farmer went back and built it back about four times the size, put multiple banners and signs and everything on it, and then Saturday night it got burnt down again. And then a couple nights ago, another farmer just a few miles away had a mobile home. Luckily there was nobody in it, but it was a great spot and had a big banner of mine on it and got burnt down. So, you know, this would be a national news. It would be a hate crime. It would lead every national media organization. But because it's me and because it's Donald Trump, they're not reporting on it. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not saying that it needs to be reported on. But the point is that this should not be tolerated in the United States of America. And this is what happens when you begin to call things like Antifa a myth and you promote things like BLM without, you know, explaining that this is a Marxist organization. This is what happens in the United States of America, Dr. Gorka.
But surely doesn't this all add up? If you say these things together, if you listen to the words of various left-wing leaders, if you look at the reaction to events like this, which are felonies, I mean, burning a mobile home, you're talking about one side of the political debate normalizing violence, aren't you?
Exactly. That's my point, and that's what I kind of wrote about in Countdown to Socialism, that, you know, if Trump doesn't win this election, we're going to be in a full-blown socialist state. You know, we have a candidate, you know, Biden, who's essentially an avatar, and Kamala Harris, who is an apparatchik. She's never had to run for a serious office in her life. She's always been anointed by the party out here in California. We are, you know, we're a one-party rule out here, and she's just been anointed to every position she's run for, including when she was running for president. Remember, at first,
yes,
Obama was behind her. All the Obama machinery was behind her. She raised, tens of millions of dollars and then floundered so miserably in Iowa that she got out of the race because she was going to get last place. And then here you go again. She gets appointed to be the vice presidential nominee. I mean, how on earth did they pick her? So they're picking her because the Democratic Party is a socialist-run party. It's being run top-down. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, Obama and his team couldn't stand that Clinton lost the election, couldn't stand that Trump won. He never left Washington, D.C., and him and his people are all still there, and it's very, very dangerous what's going on right now.
He represents California 22. You can follow him on Twitter at Devin Nunes. He also has his brand new podcast, the Devin Nunes Podcast, and the book is The Countdown to Socialism. Lastly, we have to discuss this brand new movie that is out. It's by Amanda Mylius, the daughter of the great John Mylius. It's called The Plot Against the President. We'll put up the links on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. It's about you. It's about your brave stand to uncover what happened to candidate Trump and then President Trump. And explain to our listeners, if you will, to our millions of viewers and listeners, why the word plot or coup is correct in terms of describing what you found.
Well, this was based on a great book, a best-selling book by the author Lee Smith, investigative reporter. He's the one that titled the book, but, you know, really when you go back and look at this, how can you describe this as anything but a plot against the president? It's pretty clear now. It was obviously clear when the book came out. In Lee Smith's new book, he actually calls it the permanent coup because they never stopped. Once the Russian thing blew up in their face, they went right back with the Ukrainian hoax and the impeachment hoax. So look, I didn't know what to expect out of this documentary. They asked if they could interview me in my office. And look, I just call it like I see it. And I think very clearly they took what was in that book. It's a very good book. It's a very thorough book. But they brought it down to about an hour and a half. And it's, I would say it's fairly in-depth. And you star in it. You have a starring role, Dr. Gorka. But they talk about General Flynn. I think I actually learned a few new things in it, some of the interviews that they were able to get. And I think it's a fabulous documentary, and I hope that every American watches it and spreads it out to their family, The Plot Against the President.
And in the last few seconds we have with you, Congressman Nunes, how concerned are you that we don't have any results from the Durham investigation?
Well, look, I'm very concerned. Nobody's more ticked off than me except for the President of the United States. I will say the smoking guns that came out last week of Brennan's handwritten notes that the Obama White House knew that this had happened. And secondly, that Strzok also knew that the Clinton campaign was behind all this. This all happened in 2016. Those were smoking guns that came out last week. And my guess is that the U.S. Attorney out of Connecticut didn't know about these, and I'm sure they're struggling through to try to bring indictments against these dirty cops. And it's not easy because the deep state is big and it's vast and it's much larger than I ever thought it could be. And I thought it was pretty damn bad.
Watch the film, The Plot Against the President, and read the book, Countdown to Socialism, from Devin Nunes at Devin Nunes on Twitter. Thank you, Congressman. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay safe after those very disturbing reports from your district. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Your call's next here on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. If you are calling us on a cell phone from one of the big providers, just stop and think for a moment that at the end of the month, they take money from your bill and they fund things like Planned Parenthood and even Democrat candidates. Don't let them. Go with the only conservative Christian cell phone company. It's Patriot Mobile. You'll get special offers with my name, a free Samsung A11 phone with a 2-year commitment, or a free month or $45 off any phone. Go today. Stick with the conservatives who support conservative causes, the ones that you care for. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA or call their U.S.-based team 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/GORKA.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
You can't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new film, Trump Card, about the threat of socialism and how it's going to take Donald Trump and our support of the president to defeat it. Watch it today at salemnow.com. That's Trump Card, Dinesh D'Souza's latest great movie at salemnow.com. I'm so sad. We've got a full call board, and Jeff says, none of them want to talk to me. There's only one. What? Who do you want to talk to, Shad? Well, Mr. G's craziness. We'll go to that one caller in a moment who actually likes me and my 3 million other friends on radio. But I got to have your response. In the next hour, I want to talk to you guys. Nabisco makes something called Oreos. Allegedly, they're a cookie. A biscuit, as we say in England, but it's a cookie over here. And they have just issued 10,000 packets. You can't buy them. You have to get them online, of LGBTQ cookies. I'll say that again. Limited edition rainbow Oreos in support of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and what is cute? Questioning? Strange? I don't know what it is. Anyway, what are your responses to Oreo cookies? Getting woke. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to your call. The one call who wants to talk to me. Tom in Atlanta, line two. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Sebastian. I keep getting diverted from why I called you because of what you just said about Oreos. So
respond, whatever. Anyway. It's your choice, Tom. It's your choice.
Okay. Following on the previous guest, this is an opportunity, I feel, and I want your feedback and on it, for the Republicans to, in unanimity, say, do you ever want to get to the bottom of what they did to this president and could do to any subsequent president during his campaign and afterwards? If that's the case, then you have to put the president back in the office. You have to keep the Senate. You have to gain the House and hopefully even the popular vote, because without the majority of those things in place, we will never know what happened to the depths of this criminal, historically criminal behavior, Sebastian, of those. There's many words, but I won't say any of them on the radio.
Tom, the trouble is, Tom, you're being reasonable. And your logic presupposes good faith. You're right. No person of any political stripe, I don't care whether you're a conservative, a liberal, a progressive, a libertarian, a neocon, a Reaganaut, no person should ever want any president of any political identity to be targeted by the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DOJ, like candidate Trump and President Trump was. But that presupposes that they care. They don't care. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your take on rainbow Oreos. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.